where two or three are gathered together, God will be in
the midst.
In the midst. Amen. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given us. It is a gift. Life is a gift. Joy is a gift. Your spirit is a gift. Health is a gift. Restoration is a gift. Salvation is a gift. And we just thank you for the gift of life. As always, God, we honor you. It is in you we live, we move, and we have our being. Give the Lord this morning. We know that this morning you will comfort us, not through jokes, not through any clever statements, but you are going to encourage us. Lift our hearts and lift our spirits from your word, through your word.
Amen.
When we open this Bible, we will be instantly encouraged because we know you are talking and we know you have a plan for us. We know you see us, we know you love us, and you care for us. I mean, down to the very smallest detail, you know what we desire, what we need. I mean, that very detail, that little thing that we hope, we pray that before the week is out, that hope turns into help, and then eventually a testimony that you did it. In Jesus' name, we pray, we honor you, we give you praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody say, God did it.
God did it.
Everybody say, God did it.
God did it.
So I'm going to take that. Go on my mouth. It was a mess. So today I want to talk about in this series, Fact Check series, I want to talk about I still see you. Amen.
Amen.
And this is God talking, and God says, I still see you. All right? God says, I still see you. Everybody say, God still sees me.
God still sees me. One more time.
Say, God still sees me. Is that good news?
Yes.
He still sees me. He still sees me. He still sees us. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a phrase that in this fact check series, because reason why I pray that this fact check series will be a blessing to all of us listening on this House of Judah podcast. But I pray that the fact check series will encourage us and keep us in the way. Amen?
Amen.
Keep us in the faith. Do you know there are plenty of scriptures that talks about believers once being believers but no longer being believers?
Yeah.
Talks about a great falling away. Not a falling away in death, but a falling away is, you know what, God? I gave you a chance, you failed me, I ain't gonna rock with you no more. There's a lot of people that we may know that they're just not interested, not necessarily in church, they're just not interested in God. Y'all know them, right? They're not interested, they don't want to have anything to do with church. They don't want to have anything to do with God. And so this fact check series it should encourage us that we still have our hands to the plow. We ain't gonna give up. We're gonna still trust and believe. We're gonna to the very end. Amen.
Amen.
My only one is I'm a ride or die.
Me too.
I'm gonna be a ride or die. And so because the Bible says the good news is if you suffer with Jesus, if you suffer with him, you're gonna reign with him. So I'm looking forward to the day where he says, Alpheus, let's go. Let me show you what you got going on in this little place called heaven.
Yeah.
Let me show you your area. Let me show you your plan.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody looking forward to that?
Yes.
Amen. And then when I see come to your house, I'm saying, you got it going on over here. Because for us to be able to experience that, God would have said, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes. Amen.
Come on in and enjoy.
Yes.
We're flesh. We're going to experience flesh things here on earth. Amen?
Amen.
But in heaven, we ain't got to go through all this nonsense on earth. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's why we got to try to figure out how to take everybody, how to share our faith. We want everybody to experience that. Amen?
Amen.
We want everybody to not just experience a good cruise, a good meal. We want them to experience heaven.
Amen.
And this world is lost. It's a lot of lost people. So much going on in the world. So much. From AI to a bunch of goodbyes. I mean, it's a lot going on. And so, anthropomorphically speaking, y'all remember when I say anthropomorphic, what that means, right? Anthropomorphically means it's when we basically... We try to put human characteristics on the God that don't deserve human description.
Right.
And so God really does see us. But when we say that, God, do you really see us? It's we're wanting a big man to come on our front porch and with big eyes and to confirm to us that he sees us. I know that's what we want, right? That's what we really want. We want him to knock on our door or call us and say, "Hey, I'm the big man upstairs, and I see." But that's anthropomorphically seeing. It ain't gonna happen that way. I just want to encourage us. That blessing may not come the way you think it's gonna come. Anthropomorphically speaking, again, when we say, "God, do you see us?" it's the best we can do. When the Bible talks of God seeing us, it's human language. Okay? It's to help us understand the divine reality of God. God is obviously, he's not oblivious to where we are. You know, he's not oblivious, he's not clueless. He knows where we are, he knows what we're facing. He knows what's happening with us, on us, in us. He doesn't just look at us, he perceives us. And so there's a phrase that I think that we can fact check. If I say fact check, it's a fact check series. And there's a phrase or a statement, and it is centered around perceive. Everybody say, God perceives.
God
doesn't just look at you and look at you and say, "She dressed nicely today." He perceives. He's really perceiving us. That means he knows. He is fully aware. I hope that's encouraging to somebody in this room, online, listening to the playback. And Jesus, even on earth, when he walked on earth, Jesus, God in flesh, which is phenomenal, which makes you really warm inside, it makes me tear up, that God would humble himself. Somebody that powerful. I mean, somebody that powerful would just take on flesh. He didn't have to do that. Amen. I sing a song with the kids, and the end of the song that I wrote is, "And still kind enough to live in my heart. And still kind enough to live in my heart." He's so powerful. He's just so kind enough to just humble himself. And so it's just, even on earth, Jesus, God in flesh, there's so many scriptures. Turn to Mark 2. This is what I'm going to just explain, make a case for this word called perception, or I perceive. I perceive, which is not just Jesus, God looking at us, the Holy Spirit observing what you got going on. It's really, he's paying attention to the details. He knows every detail of your struggle and your issues. Mark 2 and 8, I just want to simply lift this. Mark 2, verse 8. But this is I don't have time to give everything here, but immediately when Jesus did what? Perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus with themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts?" Turn to Luke 7:13. I just want to focus on the word perception. Perception, I perceive. God perceives. Luke 7:13. Luke chapter 7, verse 13. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her when he what? He had compassion when he saw her and said to her, "Do not weep." I don't know who God is talking to this morning and encouraging you this morning. He's saying, "I see you," and he's saying, just wait. Don't cry too soon. Look at somebody say, "Don't cry too soon."
Don't cry too soon.
It ain't over. Look at somebody say, "It ain't over yet." Don't give up. It's the fourth quarter. It's still time on the board. We still got 2 minutes left. You know how much damage can be done in 2 minutes? Man, I can't wait to this football season. I just like the hype of football season. I don't even know who's playing. I'll say, "Lex, who that?" And she gives a name and the stats. He's got so many whatever. Or she's got so many points. And I just like the hype of it. Amen? I just like getting the grill ready. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. There's enough. I perceive. When you read it in the Word of God, I perceive. You should take it personal. You should embrace that. God is saying, "I see you." Matthew 10, verse 29. This is a really good one. So many songs written about this. "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your father's will. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. God sees that you have 672 gray hairs and 12 originals. Amen. Now I'm about to join that club, all right? But I got to ask for that on Tuesday. Verse 31, do not fear, therefore you are more valuable than many sparrows. Is that encouraging to somebody? I perceive. Luke 5:22 is another passage. If you just write it down, I don't have it on the screen. I just got it written down in my notes. Luke 5:22, Jesus received their thoughts, and he responded to what was on the inside of their head. So you can't fool God. You can complain in your head, and God still knows. Just go ahead and just get it out. If you got to go in the woods and say, God, what is going on? Just let it out. You're going to feel better. Amen. Anybody need a good woods? What's going on? Oh, God wrote that song. What's going on? Who wrote that? Marvin Gaye. He ended up being a preacher anyway, right? No, that was Al Green and Little Richard. Little Richard also. Have y'all heard Little Richard preach?
No.
Okay, you should Google it. It is a sight to hear. John 6:15 is another passage that talks about perception. God perceives, John 6:15. Jesus perceived that the crowd intended to do something bad to him. So in other words, perception, we should be able to embrace what Jesus did, which was have perception. You know when somebody don't mean you any good. Amen. You know when there's bad intentions. And you know when there are people around you. John 6:61. Write down John 6:61. Loads you up with scriptures today. John 6:61. John 6:61. Jesus knew his disciples was complaining in John 6:61. He knew that they were complaining about what he was talking about his teaching. The Bible says he knew that they were grumbling. They were complaining about what he had to say. Do you know everybody ain't gonna like what you got to say as a Christian? They ain't gonna like what you got to say about X, Y, Z because they know you're right. And they want to be right. And they are complaining. And you know what? Some people, you know, they are talking about you. And I'm not one of those guys that always talk about people talking about you, haters. But you know when people are talking about you, you just feel it in the spirit. You know, and that helps you know how to deal with them with confidence. You go to them and you say, you know what? Here's $20. And then eats them up on the inside, right? Because you know that they have something to say about you, but you're being Christ-like because the Bible says, do what to your enemies? The Bible says specifically to cash out your enemies. Huh? $3.16. John 3:16. Amen? But today I'm going to talk about, again, I still see you. I still see you. And I'm in a rental car today because yesterday, me and Lex, we went to Bishopville. And we went, which is a few hours away from here. And we decided to rent a car to save miles. Amen. Yeah, anybody know about that? You don't want to use, you want to just rent a car and let the miles stack up on their car. And so we went to serve a church down there yesterday. And by the way, these students, if y'all think the next generation is in trouble, them kids wore me out. I taught them the 7 Hebrew words for praise, and one of them is halal. And the little guy said, I'm ready to halal, which give God a undignified praise. And he ran around the church, and he was serious. They wasn't even playing games, and then we decided to join them and run around the church and give God a halal praise. Wore me out. But if you think the next generation is in trouble, I'm telling you right now, I've been in the company of hundreds already this year. And half of them love tambourines, which is biblical. They love heels and dressing nice. They're more dressed than me in church. And they love to dance and shout. I've never seen so many shouting teens this year.
I mean, they're ready. They don't even need a click track. That young man yesterday, I said, give God a halal for you. He went, and I said, okay, that's enough. I just wanted to prove. He wouldn't stop dancing. Man, I was telling you, I got to show y'all the footage. I think they recorded it. I said, what is happening in the earth? All the way back to doing the good Lord's work. I was a little tired. I said I was going to tell it this way, but I got to tell it this way. I was a little tired, and I decided to turn over the car, somebody else to drive, which is beautiful, because that's what the spouse is supposed to do. The man of God poured out. With all the kids, really. And so he was a little tired. Plus, he had some turkey legs. You know, they say turkey make you go to sleep, right? And I wish Sarah was here, but she said, I always talk about food, and I didn't want to disappoint her. But when she hears this, I'm not going to be disappointed. She's not going to be disappointed. And so we knew that I knew. Y'all knew what I talked about last week about Adam and Eve. And so I take responsibility for this. I also knew that the gas was low in the rental car. It wasn't the car I was used to. And so, but when I woke up taking a nap, obviously, if I'm taking a nap, I'm not what? I'm not driving. I'm not trying to implicate anybody. But what I'm trying to prove is, y'all will be shocked before I finish this story. I woke up to the car cutting off, and we had to pull off on the side of the road. That's why I got this big old picture here. Y'all didn't see where I was going? Y'all see that man right there? Mm-hmm. Replace him with me yesterday, right before dark, on 26, coming back to Greenville. From doing the good Lord's work. I'm like, God, I mean, wait a minute now. We prayed before we left. And look. You should have nudged me. And so you should have nudged us. I take full responsibility. I didn't say, God, that woman you gave me, like Adam did when I talked last night. I didn't say that. I said, God, that woman you gave me, I didn't say that. I kept my cool. I kept my calm. I started praying instantly. Let's go ahead and read this real quick. Psalm 91. I know y'all want to hear more of the story, but it'll come out maybe in a second. Psalm 91:11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in what?
All thy ways.
All thy ways. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord is around about them that what?
Fear him.
Fear him. Look at somebody say, you better fear God.
Fear God.
If you want help, you better fear God. Fear the one who can summon the angels to protect you.
Yeah.
Danger seen and what?
Unseen.
We're on the edge. We're on 26 out of gas. And the nearest gas station is a 3.5-hour walk one way. So, you know, I was trying to get my steps in, but I wasn't going to get them in that way. I'm telling you, I said, this ain't happening. So, ended up calling the rental car company. They said, are you blocking traffic? I said, well, ish, kind of blocking traffic. The thing's flying past us because you go over, it's like you go over this hill and there's another hill, and we're in between that, and it seemed like it was a recipe for a blind spot. We could feel every truck. It's like when we were in the rental car, it was like, boom, you could feel the car moving. That's how, it was just that fast. And so my mind, I mean, I was calm, but I was, man, my nerves were tore up. And Lex was over there crying and carrying on. I just a wreck. I said, I ain't never seen you cry like this. It's gonna be okay. And I'm really all calm. And she just, I gave her some tissue, and she was crying so much, I took my coat off. And I'm trying to make it plain. But one guy stopped. He said, y'all good? I said, we out of gas. He said, man, I'm sorry about that. And he kept going. Am I making this up, Danny? He said, you good? And he left. Well, she said, part of it. Yes, the part about me taking off my coat to give her more tissue. Yes, that's made up. Just so y'all, the rest of this is true. But and really, right now, I really see that's like the Good Samaritan story. Y'all read it. It was three individuals in the story. This is not what I'm supposed to be talking about today. But maybe I'll talk about it, maybe not. But it was three individuals, and it played out almost just like that. One guy, he said, okay, you need gas. All right, I'm sorry. And then I called 911. That's what the rental car people, roadside assistance, says, call 911. 911. Call 911. Person is number two. Call them. She said, we see the location. We're going to dispatch somebody. 30 minutes later, I called back. I said, what's your ETA to get to us? It's about to get dark. She said, we don't give them. She said, let me transfer you to Highway Patrol, because that's who will come out anyway. And then they switched me over to the person answering the phone for Highway Patrol. And I said, what's your ETA? It's going to be dark. We just don't want to cause an accident. She said, sir, with an attitude, we don't give out ETAs. Like, why are you asking for an ETA? Who do you think this is? It's not like this. You're not in the Ritz-Carlton. You're not calling the front desk. You know, this is, you know, we're not big valet parking in your car. That was the vibe I got. And I'm like, and I said, man, she said, they don't, and I said, they said they don't give out ETAs. And man number three pulled right behind us. And his name, I'm about to run, I just saw it. Because the scripture we want to focus on in 10 minutes is, his name is John. A man, a white man with a tie, came out the car and said, are you guys okay? I said, yeah, we're good. We just ran out of gas. He said, okay. And it's like he started devising a plan what to do to get us back going. I said, what's your name? He said, John. I said, the name fits. He said, I tell you what, I know there's a gas station on the next exit. And the reason why he knew that was I'm taking too long on this. The reason why, thank you. She said, take your time. Thank you. I will. You got to be 5 minutes on the message. He said, the reason why I know that there's a exit up here, because I passed you guys. And I had a case of, I can't help but to help you. Mm-hmm. He got off on that exit and turned around and then got off on the other exit to turn around to get behind us. Wow. And to check on us. All of that! Wow. And he said, I said, well, I did call 911, but they said they don't give out ETA, so it'll be 3 minutes from now, it'll be 3 hours. He said, I tell you what, here's my number. So he took my number, I took his number, I actually programmed his number, John, the Highway 26 Angel. Mm. That's how I programmed it. He said, I tell you what, you keep me posted. If they come on my way to the gas station, you let me know and I'll keep going. He said, and I'll keep you posted on what my ETA is coming back to you. Mm. Highway Patrol folks said, we don't give out ETAs. This man, sitting by God, says, I'm going to give you a play-by-play on all that ETA. Mm-hmm. And I'm making this part up. Okay, thank you. Say something. Say something to the mic. Am I making this up?
Not that part.
Okay. So he called me 3 times before he got back to me. Hey, I found a 1 gallon gas can, and I talked the clerk down. I said, hey, can you? You know, it's $18. Can you give it to me for less? I got a situation. I'm helping somebody. He said they sold it to him for $10. He filled it up. Mm-hmm. He came back with it. He said, hey, when I pass you this time and drag you off to the exit and get behind y'all, he said, I'm going to beat the horn to let you know it's me. Mm-hmm. I said, man, I said, what is happening? And then he came around. He said, I got it. I'm filling up. I said, he said, is anybody coming? I said, no. He came around and we waited on him. He came right behind us, right before he pulled up, the highway patrolman himself called and said, we just got the dispatch. Can we, you know, I'm sorry. Now he's apologetic. He said, I just got the dispatch. I know that you are stranded. You know, you're out of gas. We'll come and help you. I said, well, somebody just, a good Samaritan just came and let me see what happens here. And make a long story short, we put the gas in and we were good to go.
Amen.
Clap your hands. I feel like we can go home right now. Because God says, I still see you.
Yeah.
And in the next maybe 10 minutes, and I'll keep it short because one, I'm in the rental car, it's got to be back by a certain time. And number two, we got two or three things to prepare for the good
Gospel Music Stella Awards. And so yours truly is officially presenting in 5 categories.
Wow.
That's amazing. And I get to, let me tell you the coolest thing about it. I'm co-presenting, and I'm co-presenting with kids. And so I was nervous, now I'm not nervous, because when we did the read-through, those kids are smart, and they were articulate, and it's just God knows how to keep you, God knows how to do it. And so, man, it's going to be so awesome. It will be streamed on and aired also on TVN, okay? And so win, lose, or draw. Next week, keep us in your prayer, because we're also taking about 18 students that will be performing on the grounds somewhere, Stella Weekend, and just keep us in your prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all excited about the Lord? Who can I share with? I can't share with y'all.
Yes.
I ain't even Facebooked about presenting yet. I just Facebooked to y'all, and maybe I'll see it this week. Amen. So, turn to John 1, John chapter 1. This is where I want to land. I know I took a long time on that story where my sweet, beautiful wife was driving the man of God and ran out of gas. That took a little bit too long, but I just wanted y'all to see that God still sees us. In John chapter 1, verse 43. John chapter 1, 43. I'll look at a few things, and then I'll end it where God says end it. The next day, verse 43, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, okay? He found Philip and said to him, follow me, okay? And so Jesus found who?
Philip.
Jesus found Philip and said, follow me. Now Philip was from this particular place, the city of Andrew and Peter. Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him who Moses in the law. Everybody, Moses was famous. So when you say Moses, it's like they fanning out the respect, the honor. We found him of who Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about. So we can respect Moses and all the great men of God, but they actually point to Jesus. In typology, Moses is a type of Christ, because Moses took the people out of bondage and Jesus takes us out of bondage. Amen?
Amen?
So Moses is a type of Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Verse 46. Nathanael said to him, after Jesus found who? Philip. And Philip found who? Look at the order. Jesus found Philip, and Philip found Nathanael. And Nathanael had this to say about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What do you have to say about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I wonder, have you become too familiar with Jesus in 2026? I wonder, have you become, like, just too familiar with God? And y'all just heard the testimony from my heart. And I feel like, I mean, what did you do to a good God that sent an angel to get you off the side of the road? It could have been worse. It really could have been bad. Like, what do you do? It's like, man, it's never enough. I mean, if I had 10,000 songs, I couldn't praise him enough. So we can't be too familiar with God. Nathanael, I know Philip came and got you and told you about Jesus, and maybe you in your feelings or something, because it was like a secondhand message or it wasn't firsthand. So, but Nathanael had this to say in verse 46. Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? How would you even know anyway, Nathanael? How can you even recognize good talking like this? Philip said to him, come and see. So Philip, I like Philip's response. He said, come and see for yourself. Because since you're acting like doubting, who was that?
Thomas.
Like, you kind of act like doubting Thomas. Well, come and see for yourself. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. So when Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he basically read his mail. He basically described him. Jesus has a habit, or many times in the Bible you see Jesus reading people's mail. I perceive, I just said 10 minutes ago, the word perceive. I perceive. He didn't just see Nathanael, he saw Nathanael. He knew who was coming to him with doubts and fears. That's why we got to be honest. When we get on our knees, y'all can play with it if you want to. God, I'm here again. You are beautiful. How beautiful. God, you're just great. Just tell God all about your troubles. He will hear your what?
Famous
cry. And answer by and by. Just tell him, be real. Look at somebody say,
be real.
Because he could possibly stop you in your prayer and say, what are you saying to me? Do you need help? Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. He said, why are you saying all that other stuff? Just go to God and say, help. Or just go to God and say, God, I don't believe. On the side of the highway yesterday, he said, God, I'm a little nervous. You a man of God. Well, I'm still nervous. I'm still thinking the worst case scenario as a man of God on this highway called 26. Because I've never been in this predicament before. I mean, I am feeling the wind move the car. And my senses, I'm hearing sounds I've never heard before. I've never heard it before. Up close and personal. Some of us listening, some of us in this room, you're in a season where you've heard sounds and you've seen things you've never saw before. Yeah. And it's a little scary. It's a little frightening. And you may be thinking the worst case scenario, but go to God in prayer and be honest. Nathaniel said to him, how do you know me? You know me? Nathaniel said, how do you know me? Jesus answered to him, before I even came to you, before we even had this encounter, I already knew you anyway. I knew you, and as a matter of fact, I knew you, I saw you before Philip called you when you were under the fig tree. I saw you. I already knew. Before you were who you are in this room with status, I already knew you. I knew you when you didn't have nothing. I knew you when you didn't have you couldn't even afford your car payment. I knew you when you had your car you possessed. I knew you when you had a notice on your door. I knew you, look at you, you're blessed now, but I knew you when you were under the fig tree. I knew you when you were in a season where you didn't know if you were coming or going. I knew you, you may be listening, when your marriage was going downhill. I knew you when you were in health. I knew you when you could run a mile in 3 minutes. I'm trying to make it plain. I knew you had bills plus bills plus bills. Bills plus bills plus bills equals what? More bills. I saw you. Nathaniel answered him. So now Jesus, he knows who he's dealing with. Nathaniel answered him and said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. It went from, can any good thing come from Nazareth to, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You have proven yourself. You are the Son of God. You are the King. Now he's trying to give Israel's resume. First he gave you your resume, and now he's trying to give him his resume. You're not qualified to do that. Now that's anthropomorphic at its best. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Amen? Verse 50, Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, now you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Nathaniel, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Everybody say, Nathaniel. Why are you projecting? Y'all know what projecting is, right? Nathaniel, why are you projecting? In verse 46, any good thing come out of Nazareth? And then Philip said, come and see. But I kind of want to be very hard on Nathaniel, but in 2 minutes, I just want to give you just a little glimpse or re-glimpse of Nathaniel. Because the hurting people do what?
Hurt people.
They hurt people. Confused people do what? Confused people. Frustrated people do what? Frustrated people. People that are fearful react differently than you. Like sometimes when you have two different people that are fearful, but they act two different ways. Look at somebody and say empathy. I know you don't like me. I don't like you either. I've been annoyed the past 2 weeks by some family members. But God touched my heart and says empathy. I've been annoyed by just people, adults. I've been annoyed. Amen? Mm-hmm. Am I being honest? Am I being too honest? But it's something when empathy hits, you act differently. So Nathaniel, it does appear that you are projecting. How dare you say this? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? We're talking about Jesus here. But Nathaniel is projecting possibly because he is one of the 12 disciples. Did you guys know that? Maybe you did, maybe not. Maybe you're a reminder. He is one of the 12 disciples, but he may not be one of the 12 disciples. Make sense? His name also may not even be Nathaniel. It may be my middle name, Bartholomew. It may not even be Nathaniel. And so, also he may be projecting or in his feelings because Jesus found who? Philip, and who found Nathaniel? Philip. Jesus found Philip, and Philip found Nathaniel. Maybe he wanted to be recruited. Maybe he wanted a message. Maybe he didn't want to talk to the secretary. He wanted to talk to the CEO. You ever had an issue at a hotel or restaurant or a car dealership or something? And the first thing you say, you know what, can you get your manager on the phone? I've said that. And can I get the manager? Can I talk to the manager? And why do we do that? Because we want to get stuff done. But again, perhaps Nathaniel is in his feeling. He's projecting because he feels rejected. So sometimes people around us may be projecting because they feel rejected. Make sense? Like the folks that are late for work, always late for work, they may accuse other people of being unreliable, always projecting and saying, you know, you're late. Even in marriages where maybe one spouse is cheating and they're rejecting and trying to make it feel like the other spouse is the one doing something wrong. That's rejecting. Okay? Make sense? Let's say you don't like broccoli. Then you're going to assume, maybe you assume that other people, you don't like broccoli, do you? Yeah, I love broccoli. No, you sure you don't? That's rejecting. Do y'all like broccoli? Mm-hmm. It's okay. You know,
cheese on it.
I like the way you did that. Or a person may struggle with jealousy, and so they project. You know, they're projecting. That's what projecting is. Especially when somebody is insecure. You're going to see it in a lot of people that are insecure project because they want to, it's about their appearance. Make sense? And we definitely, we can't deal with Jesus like that. We can't deal with God like that. Jesus said, Nathanael in verse 48, I'm almost finished. In verse 48, he says, Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Do y'all not see what Jesus just did? How he just healed Nathanael in one statement. He clarified, you think I only saw you when Philip came and got me and told me about you, but I actually saw you before Philip called you. I know Nathanael feel good right now because that's letting him know before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Make sense? Before you don't know who your daddy is, but I'm your father and I still know you. I have a plan for you, and I got you. I saw you. Everybody say God still sees you.
God still sees you.
Come on, everybody say God still sees you.
God still sees you.
I'm gonna end like this. Somebody in this room, listen. Some of us may feel like we are under an umbrella of Murphy's Law times 10. Y'all know what that means. Y'all know what Murphy's Law is, right? And so when you're trying to explain it away, well, why does my knee hurt? Why does my toe hurt? Why do I have a flat tire? Why did I run out of gas? I don't know. Maybe I'm projecting, right? You know, why did I run out of gas? Why does my shoulder hurt? Or why are my family members, why is America having all these issues? There's always something in America. Amen?
Amen.
But God sees America. Amen. He sees America. Turn to John 11. John 11. This is I don't know what you're going through specifically. I may have a sense of what some of us are going through in a year, but I may not even know all the details. But Jesus sees us. He still sees us. John 11, verse 33 is a passage where Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. Why did Jesus cry? Come on, just shout something if you're not being rude. Why do you think Jesus wept? Why did he wept? This is around his friend
Lazarus died.
Did he weep because his friend died? Or did he weep for another reason? John 11, verse 33. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, some of us, we cry when somebody else cries. It gets me sometimes. Oh my goodness, y'all gotta stop all this crying. Let's give me a tissue. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. First of all, if you know the story, you know. If you know, you know. Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And so Jesus is hearing a little doubt in the voices of the people. I wonder, is he more sad? If Jesus is the Son of God, if Jesus is God in the flesh, why would Jesus be sad on a man dying to spend eternity with him? Because to God, to us, our loved ones die. And they leave, they go away. To God, they don't die, they do what? They just change locations. Did y'all just hear what I just said? They just change locations. So to God, God is never sad about those who die in Christ. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. So God is, he's not upset. We are. He said, okay, they went from earth to eternity with me, where they get to enjoy all the accoutrements of heaven. Why am I talking about heaven so much today? I'm not soon. I'm not going yet. Still something left for me to do. Point to me and say, not yet.
Not yet.
If you can save me from those tractor trailers last night on 26, I know he got me. Jesus wept. Verse 35. Perhaps Jesus wept. Not because he was sad, but because he heard unbelief in their voice. Perhaps he was troubled at their lack of faith. And this is a good place to end, because we are going to continue to go through in America in this room. Yes, we have the victory, but remember months ago I said, buckle your seatbelt, right? But then the second half of it was what? Throw away your crutches. You won't need your crutches. You won't need those crutches. You won't ever need those crutches in glory. Amen? Amen. You ain't gonna need them. You're not gonna need a wheelchair. My neighbor said, do you need a wheelchair? I said, for what? No, I don't need a wheelchair. She said, well, my father-in-law passed away and we bought it for him. Did y'all not just hear what I just said? She said, my father-in-law, who's in Christ, passed away. He don't need the wheelchair. That's why we don't throw away the crutches. You ain't gonna need them. You ain't gonna need them. So she's trying to give the wheelchair to somebody else, sell it to somebody else. We need it down here on earth, but you're not gonna need crutches in glory. Amen?
Amen.
John 11, 33, 35. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man open the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Yes. Of course, the answer to that is yes. Yes. And then we know what happened after that. Amen. He did what to Lazarus? Raised him from the dead. Duh! That's what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords do. Alfie just gets amnesia sometimes when he's on 26. And he forgets that God will send an angel. You're not being arrogant. You're not being overly whatever. Like, who else you going to believe and trust in? Amen? And so God sees us in this room. This is a good place to end. Did you guys enjoy the teaching? God still sees us. He still sees us. He still sees us. He still sees us. Come on. Somebody say, he still sees me.
He still sees me.
He still sees me. I mean, he still sees me. He still sees us. Come on, shout your name.
Yes, he is.
He still sees you. He still sees you. Give God a hand clap of praise for still seeing you.